Radio broadcast coming to you today with a very special subject, the glory of the Lord. Yesterday, I shared with you how I had a great deal of desire for the glory of the Lord, which was born out of something the Lord said to Kenneth E. Hagin, for whom I worked. Back in the 1970s, the Lord said to Brother Kenneth E. Hagin, it would behoove you to study every scripture in the Word of God on the glory of God. He did that. He would preach on it. He would begin just and read the scriptures all through the Bible. He would begin in the Old Testament with the glory of the Lord appearing. And sometime during the time of when he would preach these sermons, and he would always do it when the Lord told him to, He looked up every scripture in his concordance, typed them out, carried it in the back of his Bible. I would sit there in the congregation and I would watch him. Sometimes he'd kind of jump as he sat up there on the platform, and then he'd start fishing around the back of his leather Bible case, and he'd find these scriptures, and I knew he was going to do it. He was going to get up and he was going to read the glory of the Lord's scriptures. And then he was sometime, it almost always happened that sometime, you know how the Bible says that he confirms the word with sign? He worked with them, the early day preachers in the book of Acts. He worked with them confirming the word with signs following. And so Brother Hagin would preach this on the glory of the Lord, and God would confirm it. Sometime in, he would always read how you could see the glory, how they saw the glory. And then sometimes during that, sometimes he'd get through a lot of scriptures. Sometimes he'd get all the way over there to Acts chapter 7, where when Stephen was preaching, the first martyr was preaching. Acts chapter 7, verse 2. And he said, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran. And then it ends his sermons with verse 55. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Sometimes he'd get as far as Paul. And Paul said, And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. He would talk about Saul's experience. He would actually just read the scriptures about it. Sometimes he'd get that far. Not usually. Usually the manifestation of the glory would come much earlier. And one of the times that it would come would be when he was preaching or speaking. He was just reading the scriptures about when they dedicated the temple. Now, he would always read this scripture. When God came down to dwell with men, and he had not dwelt with them since man fell from the glory, he asked them to take up an offering. And with that offering, he told Moses, tell them to build a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. It had to be done exactly right. And so from chapter 25 on to chapter 40 of Exodus, it's all the rightness of fulfilling that pattern that Moses built, the tabernacle. And so Exodus 40:33 says, so Moses finished the work. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And then he would get over to 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Now, the first place that God dwelt among them was in the tabernacle. It was built according to the pattern shown to Moses in heaven. God showed the pattern for the temple to David, but David couldn't build it because his hands had shed too much blood. He gathered money for it, and he's the one that saw the pattern. But his son Solomon was the builder of the temple. And when the temple was built, we read in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, "Thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished." Verse 2, "Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes and the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel unto Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. Wherefore, all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto the king in the feast, which was in the seventh month." The feast in the seventh month is the Feast of Tabernacles, the great grand and glorious feast that takes place in September or sometimes in October. Verse 11, Brother Hagin would always read this. "And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified and did not then wait by course." There were 24 courses of them, and more than 4,000. "Also the Levites, which were of the singers, all of them of Asaph, Heman, and Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests, sounding with trumpets. It came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God." Brother Hagin would always, sometime when he got about in here, he would draw people's attention to the fact that when Moses finished the work, the glory appeared in a cloud and a fire, and that Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle. And here he would always point out that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. They couldn't stand up, and they fell, and 4,000 of them fell prostrate, and I'm sure probably many more of the people, because the Temple Mount is like lower where the temple is, and then around it are high mountains, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people. And those mountains would be covered with millions of people of the sons of Israel. And then there on the Mount of God were the priests, all the priests. And it was quite a sight. And they all fell over. And Brother Hagin when he's preaching on the glory, and you can probably find it on YouTube, and you can find it on many other places. But when he's preaching about the glory of the Lord, he will tell about the first time he saw the glory of the Lord. Now, Brother Hagin was born very sick. He weighed less than a pound and a half. August 20th, 1917, born at home. So the chances for his living were not very great. And doctors told him that he would die before, I think it was his 17th birthday. And no one had ever lived with that condition. He had 5 blood diseases. His heart was bad. No one had ever lived past their 17th birthday. So he had been bedfast for, I believe, about 17 months. I can't remember exactly right now, but more than a year. And while he was bedfast, there came the day that he died. He actually had died twice before and gone to hell, but then he got born again. And this time he went up. But here are the circumstances that he would tell when teaching on the glory. He said he'd known all that morning that he was going to die. It was a hot August day in Texas, but his body was cold. It was freezing. And they had covered him in blankets, and they had used hot water bottles and borrowed neighbor's hot water bottles and wrapped bricks to keep him warm. And he said to his youngest brother, Pat, "Pat, go get mother. I'm dying." So when his mother came to look in the room where he was dying, there was a cloud. And she could not get into the room. She couldn't go through the doorway. His granny came. Granny was a little bit feisty woman. And she said, his mother, Lily, said, "Granny, I can't get in the room." And Granny said, "Well, I can." So she just backed up and ran and made a lunge at that cloud, but she bounced off of it. So then the dining room was right next to his bedroom, so she backed halfway across the dining room, took a run and start, did it again, bounced off. Then she got all the way to the back wall of the dining room, made a big running start, bounced off, and this time she was so weakened that she just hung on to the doorway. And Brother Hagin's mother told him in later years, she said, "Son, it was a long time. It was a long time, more than 10 minutes, maybe. I've forgotten exactly how long now," she did say it was, "that we could not get into that room because of the glory of the Lord." And Brother Hagin said that when he saw that glory, when he saw that cloud, he was caught up in it and he's headed up to heaven. He felt wonderful, glad to go. But the Lord said to him, "You'll have to go back. You go back. Your work on earth is not finished." So when he got back to earth, he said to his mother, and when she finally got in and took hold of his hand, he came back into his body. He said he entered it through his mouth. And he got back into his body and he said to his mother, "Mother, I'm not going to die now." She thought he meant not die right this minute, but he meant, "I'm not going to die now. I'm going to fulfill the work of the Lord." And oh my, aren't we glad that he fulfilled the work of the Lord in his life and that he lived. And one of the revelations, great revelations that God gave him, was of the glory of the Lord. Now we're going to take this back tomorrow because the Lord has told me to take it back again, take it back up again. I used to preach on it. It used to be my theme, the glorious church and the church being filled with his glory. But now the Lord is calling us back to it. And another thing he called me to recently is a study of the book of Revelation. In January 2012, I was at the convention of Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Brother Hilton Sutton spoke. He was asked to give a testimony of healing. He did. And then at the last, he had a few minutes time, and he began to talk about the book of Revelation. And he said, "You ministers, you're going to be needing to preach on the book of Revelation. We're at the time." He said, "God didn't close his book with a horror story." And he said, "It's the only book in the Bible that promises you a blessing if you even just read it." So he told them to get busy doing it. Well, that was in January. He went to be with the Lord in March. And as soon as he went to be with the Lord, I had some time with him, and I was really walking with him and his wife through that time. And the Lord said to me, "I want you to teach the book of Revelation." So I did it on the Believer's Voice of Victory. And now we are led of the Lord to have a school. This is not going to be like a preaching session on it. This is a school on it. And we're going to go through the book of Revelation in Branson, Missouri. It's going to start this Saturday, coming up right now. This is what, Tuesday. And it's going to come this Saturday, so you be with us if you can. Call us at 417-336-4877 or 1-800-972-3447 and tell us you're coming. We'll give you the details. Shalom.